Blog Talk Radio. listening to the Spirit Alive Ministries Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Oh, hallelujah and glory to God because he is excellent. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Common Sense Files. Hallelujah. Now, I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, and tonight I'm being joined by the newest member of the Spirit Alive family, our commentator of Common Sense, Brother Rick Altman. Now, saints of God, you know how we do. Tonight we would like to submit to you for your edifications some things we should consider if we truly want to raise the bar of standards in our homes, our community, our nation, and our world. Hallelujah. Yes, we are going to come to you to give you some word of God and some common sense on tonight, my brothers and sisters. So we're going to start with a short word of prayer, and then I'm going to give you the biblical, what the word of God says. And then my brother, hallelujah, our commentator of common sense, will step on in and he's going to break it all down and tell us how to apply that word. And he is going to do a phenomenal job. Honey, it's going to be good up in here tonight. So fasten your seatbelts, get something to write with and to write on, because here we go. Saints of God, tonight we're going to be touching on them folks that folks don't like to touch on. We're going to be touching on politics and politicians and standards and things. And you got to include everybody. So the first thing that I want to submit to you tonight is that true divine government is born by and rests upon the foundation of the shoulders of Jesus Christ, rather than upon the personalities of any human beings down here. Now, the Constitution of the United States was founded upon godly principles and was made only for godly people. Listen to what John Adams wrote. He said, "Our Constitution was made only for moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." But you know what, my brothers and sisters? Unfortunately, our government is no longer populated with moral or religious or spiritual or godly people, because money and power is the currency by which most governments operate today. Therefore, it seems that doing the right thing is no longer a consideration. But I came to tell you tonight that politics and government, you know, we seem to see them as necessary evils, and you know, they give us a lot of frustrations at the present time, but it still gives us hope for our future, because as we must start with the premise of nothing is perfect, so our contradictory attitudes about politics are very revealing. You know, we recognize the failure of human solution, but at the same time, we know that something must be done to fix what's broken in the world. Huh. What man can't do, God has done. And he's went even further by giving us the Messiah. The word of God declares and decrees in Isaiah 9:6, "For a child will be born unto us, a son will be given unto us, and the government will rest upon his shoulders. And his name Amen. Will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace."
Yes.
Now, you know what, saints, brothers and sisters? Isaiah 9:6 may be the most familiar Old Testament prophecy about the birth of Jesus that, you know, we probably all have heard it, but unfortunately, we seem to just pull this passage out of the box during the holidays. You know, we pull it out like one of those ornaments that we use to decorate our Christmas trees. But have you ever stopped and thought about the rich truths in that verse? Have you ever stopped and thought about if we would all set our standards, our measure, the bar, hallelujah, according to the word of God? And let me tell you something, my brothers, my sisters. Folks don't have to climb real high as long as we leave the bar lying on the floor. But now, although we await the full realization of the kingdom of Christ, the promised Messiah, we need to first understand that he is the greatest political ruler ever. Ever! ever. Isaiah wrote this prophecy at least 100 years before Israel was taken into Babylonian captivity, nearly 600 years before the birth of our Lord and Savior. And then if you look at the litany of the failed monarchs and sitting in the rubble of Israel's monarchy, Isaiah looked across the centuries to a time when God would rule the earth through his son Christ. Hallelujah. Now, I'm just going to quickly run through this because I want to get on to the application. I'm excited about the application tonight. Hallelujah. But the word of God has me pretty on fire, too. Now, Isaiah 96 says, a child will be born to us. You know what that underscores? Humanity. You see, Christ had to be born, donned human flesh. He went through everything we went through. He endured every temptation that we have to endure. But guess what, y'all? He sinned not. You don't believe me? Check your Bible, Hebrews 4:15. Then it says, a son will be given unto us. And that implies our Savior's deity over everything. Everything, Bishop Cook? Everything. He existed before his birth at the second person of the Trinity. And although he existed in the form of God, he didn't regard himself equal in equality with God. Hallelujah. He came as the Son of God, God in human flesh, to conquer sin and death forever. Then this is the point we're going to get to and my brother going to expound on tonight. The government will rest upon his shoulders. That affirms his lordship. This verse looks to a time still in the future where Christ will reign over literal earthly geopolitical kingdom that encompasses all kingdoms and governments of the world. You better go look at Daniel 2:44 and Zechariah 14:9. You see, what we have to understand, beloved, is that Christ, all governments sit upon his shoulders. Why? Because he's all powerful. Why? Because he's excellent. Why? Because nothing goes on down here without his knowledge. But you know what I love about him as our counselor, as our political leader? He's a wonderful counselor. There's no confusion in the government of Christ. We're free from that because the word of God says Christ is a wonderful counselor. And you know, that means he's going to be telling us what is just, what is right, what is true, what is good for us. Romans says, 8, and 28 says, for we know all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord and walk according to his purpose. But you know what I'm saying, saints? The reason why I picked Jesus as my commander-in-chief and not politicians, that's because politicians turn everywhere else for their counsel. Listen, family, they go to one another. They listen to the special interest groups. They have their own psychologists, psychiatrists, analysts, philosophers, spiritual advisors, gurus, astrologers. Oh, Lord, and the list could go on and on and on. If they got a title, some of these politicians are probably listening to them. But you see, King Jesus only has to keep his own counsel. Therefore, we have no confusion. When he says something, he means it. When he says, love your brother as yourself, he means that. When he says, esteem your brother higher than yourself, he means that. Those are his measures of standard. So we have to know and understand that we serve a mighty God. Nothing going on down here at this time escapes his attention. But we need to ask ourselves, are we truly living as he wants us to? Are we praying as he wants us to? Are we truly bowing down to his deity in a time like this? Are we truly looking to him and trusting him and obeying him regardless of what the political analysts say, regardless of what the news anchors say, regardless of what our neighbors say? We know that this country was founded on godly principles and freedom. Now, my thing tonight is I'm not an author of confusion, and I'm not judging anybody, but I'm not going to let you off the hook either. My question to you tonight is, what are you, Y-O-U, personally doing to raise the bar to walk in God's standards in your home, in your community, in your church, in your country? And then how are you reflecting that out toward the world? Now, that's all about, you know, I just want you to think about that and let that marinate in your spirit. As my brother, the commentator of Common Sense, Brother Rick Altman, comes on in and puts the bow on the package. Hallelujah. Go ahead, my dear brother. You have our undivided attention. Amen.
Well, thank you, Bishop Sherlene, for having me back again. And I love when you say raise the bar of standards, because that is what it's all about, isn't it? We need to raise the standards of human behavior. We have the power. We were born with power to change ourselves, to make ourselves whatever we want. And we need to raise the standards if we hope to preserve and pass on this tremendous culture and country that most
Come
of us have
now.
Grown up in. I mean, it's just, it's incredible. And what we have, however, it could possibly be that the baby boomers, of which I'm one, I was born in the middle of the century, middle of the 20th century, have had it so easy that we have forgotten what some of the challenges could be because we didn't have to experience them. And perhaps we don't have the appreciation for this tremendous system that we live in. We're not exercising our personal responsibility to preserve it. Freedom has its requirements, and personal responsibility is one of them. And so when you're talking
Amen.
About raising the bar, when you talk about raising the bar of standards, raising the standards, I immediately go to what kind of ethics and morals are being instilled in our children by today's parents. And we can compare them, I think, to the ethics and standards and morals and, you know, what we were taught by our parents, who, for the most part, suffered through the Great Depression, sacrificed through the Second World War, knew what deprivation was about. We have to remember what's happened, you know, since the end of the Second World War in terms of medicine, health care. I mean, penicillin came online during the Second World War in the 1950s. It pretty much wiped out polio. The childhood inoculations got rid of all the childhood diseases, the childhood, you know, the baby birth rate, death rate dropped and more babies lived. And then, you know, we lived in a much, much healthier society than any previous generation of humans ever did. And then we saw the economy start to build, which wasn't surprising. At the end of the Second World War, half the manufacturing in the world was in the United States because we'd bombed most of it to rubble. But nevertheless, so our economy started to thrive. The baby boomers, I mean, we were being born at the rate of 10,000 a day, became its own economy, okay? And so we saw the economy continue to increase. We saw in the second half of the 20th century, we saw nothing like the bloodshed of the first half of the 20th century with World War I and World War II and, you know, the different totalitarian regimes taking over that ended up in the death of hundreds of millions of people. We've seen nothing like that. Small wars, yes, of course, but nothing like World War I and World War II and these other things. And so we've, you know, to make it simple, we've had it pretty easy. And when you have it easy and you're not challenged, well, you don't learn what your limits are when you're not challenged. When you're challenged, you learn what your limits are, and you usually learn that your limits are a little bit greater than what you actually thought they were.
Come on now.
And when you're not challenged and you don't see the challenges around you, and I think it's partly human nature, okay, you tend to forget the cost that it took to get there, and the cost that it takes to preserve it. And so raise the bar of standards, yes, and I think we have to go back to parents, today's parents, and we need to start teaching, starting with appreciation for the country in which
Amen.
We live. And as one of my favorite authors once said, you know, there are certain people in America that think that America can't be good because we're not perfect.
Well,
you know what? America isn't perfect, but America is good. And there are enough good people in America and have been historically that we've worked to make changes in things that, you know, to put it politely, weren't so good. We've made some changes.
Right.
And we need to continue
Amen.
To do that.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to continue to do that.
Yes, we do. Amen. Come on, brother.
Personal responsibility, of course, is a big part of the freedom that we have, and you have to exercise it. And it builds character. Challenges build character. I have a story that I like to tell about a friend of mine. He died 4 years ago this week. Very wealthy, self-made man, worth estimated between $50 and $60 million when he died. I went down for the funeral. I was meeting with his son, who grew up in this very wealthy environment. And as we were talking, he told me that when he was young, and his father was tremendously successful when he was young, his father made him sell newspapers. And I looked at him and I said, you know, I've always respected your father, but that makes me respect him even more. Because the father knew that making the son go out and meet the challenges and sell the newspapers and do what it took would give him experience and the character, okay, to then proceed on with. And and the son is a good man to this day, a hard worker, fair to his workers and everything else. And so I think, you know, this is the kind of lessons that the parents need to do. Now, our parents, the World War II generation, the Great Depression generation, they understandably did not want their kids to have it as tough as they did. That's very understandable. That's, you know, loving parents. I don't want my kids to have it as tough as I did. But maybe it's gone a little too far. Maybe, so many of these hurdles have been removed that the ability to build character and self-esteem and self-respect and that sort of thing has been limited because of the parents not wanting their kids to have it as tough. And then, of course, you can add to it the tremendous, you know, society and economy that we live in. So if we start from that and go back, and if you can't experience it, at least learn about it. It's not the same as the school of hard knocks, but at least it gives you an understanding of what we didn't have, what we did have, what we do have, and then to look at the world in such a way that you don't take it for granted. And when you start to see some of the underpinnings start to move away purposely or, you know, evolutionarily, as happens in history, okay, you can say, wait a minute, no, this is really important. Let's work to shore this one up. Okay, let's continue to hold on to this. Well, it's not perfect. Well, you know what? No, it's not perfect. But let's hold on to it, and then let's try to make it better. Okay, how's that?
Yeah.
And I think we need more of that kind of attitude in our culture today if we hope for it to survive for the future generations. Because if it's ignored, we know what will happen. We know what will happen. It'll become dilapidated, and then what will replace it won't be anywhere near as free or as prosperous of what we have come to take for granted and are enjoying, you know, and are enjoying, whether consciously or not. So, yes, let's raise the standards, and I think that starts with the parents and, the parents instilling values. I mean, if nothing else, you know, if you go to the Ten Commandments – and, after honor your father and mother, it says, thou shalt not kill, which has been interpreted as thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Remember Polonius's quote in Shakespeare's play Hamlet when he's telling his son, Laertes, before he goes back to college. He's giving him all this advice, and then he says, to thine own self be true. In other words, don't lie to yourself. Because it follows as the night, the day. Thou canst not then be false to any man. Well, at least if you're lying to yourself, it makes it easier to lie to other people. If you are honest with yourself, hopefully you'll be more honest with other people. But Shakespeare thought that was important enough to, you know, to have Polonius lecture his son about it. And I think that's also true. But it is, you know, the Ten Commandments are the basis for law in Western civilization, you know. And I love the John Adams quote, you know, and it's true. And it is something that I was thinking about the show today as I was driving down to get my weekly clam chowder. And I'm driving down the freeway. Everybody's going speed limit, maybe a little bit faster, but everybody's in their lane. Everybody's, you know, in their lane, driving safely, using their turn signals, right? And as I always like to liken civilization and the process of civilization to driving, to explain to people, imagine what driving would be like if we didn't have rules of the road, laws, driving laws, if we didn't have the rules of the road, and if nobody followed them, what would it be like?
Right.
And I think it's an excellent example. I think it's an excellent example. I come to a four-way stop now where there's four cars there, and everybody seems to know which car should go next, and we all make it through the intersection. I never used to think about it, but now I'm proud of everybody for being
all right, ma'am.
For knowing the law and knowing what to do. Now, there are some people that they don't want to hear about the Ten Commandments because they do require personal responsibility, and I'm reminded of the great Zig Ziglar, okay, the motivational speaker, sales trainer. And Zig tells a story about a friend of his that he invited to church with him. And his friend says, I don't want to go down. There's nothing in church but a bunch of hypocrites. And Zig says to him, that's okay, friend. We got room for one more. But he says, I know that's the reason. That's not the reason that you don't want to go, because I know you noticed God didn't call them the 10 suggestions.
Come on now. Say that.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
Say that. Now.
The commandment.
And, but, you know, they're the lines on the highway of life, right? And we need to, you know, if we don't follow them, we've seen plenty of examples, even in our own lifetime, of what happens when groups of people, ruling elites, do not necessarily follow that. And the cost is high in human suffering and ultimately,
yes,
and ultimately human death. And so, you know, back to the parents, if they can start, I mean, easy enough to start and infuse. I'm not expecting them to be told what I was told when I was little, which is clean up your plate because there are children starving in China. That's what I was told in the 50s, right? I don't expect the parents to tell their kids that. However, you can explain to them, you know, the process, and, you know, that there are people that are hungry in the world that don't have the system that we have. And that would be a good way to start, hopefully, to open up the awareness to the benefits that we have.
Door, not in China, next door.
Okay, next door.
Thank you, Mother. Thank you. Amen.
Now, America was built on personal responsibility. I remember when Alexis de Tocqueville came in the early 1800s. He was here for about 2 months, and he ended up writing the book Democracy in America. And I don't have the quote right in front of me, but he was intrigued by the fact that when he was out, and he would get out, you know, move into the West a little bit more to, you know, where the pioneers were and everything, that the American attitude was, I'll do it. I'll take care of it. Unlike the European attitude, which I was unaware at the time in the late 1700s, early 1800s, with so many monarchs, there was a whole faction of people that relied on the king or the queen or whoever was in charge to do stuff. But he was intrigued by the American attitude. He was like, no, I'll do it. I'll do it. Okay? And that's the kind of an attitude that helped to build the, you know, tremendous society that we live in today. And so we can start with that. We need to, you know, the parents need to infuse some history into the kids as well, because a lot of what they're getting today is simply propaganda or negative. And we need to admit the things that, you know, were negative, that, you know, weren't right, but then learn about how they changed. And let's not cancel history. Let's teach to it. Okay?
Come on.
Rather than simply canceling it
right
so
there.
It doesn't exist, let's teach to it and then how we got past it. okay, and what happened, and what was the cost. And in some costs, it was a terrible cost in lives, okay. But let's teach to that, and then hopefully, I said, hopefully, you know, the schools will be reinforcing that. At least I'm sure that the homeschoolers will have it reinforced, so that they can learn some of that kind of history. So raising the bar of standards, that will then help to increase. And I think a lot of the problem that we have, we need to increase the self-esteem of the people. Because
yeah.
I think a lot of the problem that we have today is low self-esteem. Because we've had it so easy that people have not had to go out and, you know, weren't made to sell newspapers when they were kids. I myself had several paper routes. Okay. But you learn stuff. But you learn from doing that. You learn. And then what you're told. And, you know, the kids are always looking at the adults and listening to what they say and sometimes looking at them askance at what they say. But if you're out in the world and you're working and you're delivering newspapers or you're working at a gas station or, you know, nowadays you're working at, you know, at McDonald's or one of the fast food restaurants, you learn these processes. And I'm always critical of those people that want to decry the burger flipping jobs. Oh, they're just burger flipping jobs, you know, and they wanted, you know,
yeah,
the
so
captains of industry.
Training
the captains, the captains of industry of the Fortune 500 are not working at Burger King, but you know who is? Their middle managers are, and for
yep.
many of these kids that have gone to work, it is the first time they've had to be responsible. They had to be well attired, haircut, combed. They have to be polite to other people. They have to learn what the needs are and do it. And so the middle managers are learning these trades at these, you know, horrible burger flipping jobs. So like I say, the captains of industry aren't working there, but their middle managers in the future certainly are, and that's where they're learning their values. And so that would be another example of what we could do to raise the self-esteem of the young people, to help them to understand how things got built and why we have it. And then, you know, hopefully they'll learn other lessons along the way and then, you know, move up the totem pole, you know, as they, can I say totem pole? You know, move,
yeah,
up,
you can say totem pole.
Move up the ladder, you know, move up the ladder in their life and improve their life. And so all of this comes back, again, to what you said about raising the bar, raising the standards.
Yes.
Okay, and not just, you know, turning the kids loose and, you know, and never expecting anything of them. I mean, a parent's expectation can lead the child to also stretch, try a little bit harder, perhaps exceed
mm-hmm.
what that child thought were his or her limitations, okay? And learn a little bit more. That's one of the things, you know, that we learn growing up, is that we learn we could do more than we thought we could do because we hadn't been challenged before. The challenges build character. They build self-esteem. They help with appreciation. And I think having a generation that, you know, a younger generation now, that, I mean, we're three generations now past the baby boomers, right? And to have a younger generation now moving in, especially with the competitiveness of the world, to move out and to take advantage of what we have while, again, you know, stretching, reaching their limits, exceeding their limits, and appreciating what they're doing and building, of course, I think this is what we need in order to preserve our culture and our country. And unfortunately, and you mentioned the politics a little bit earlier, there are some people in politics that want to eliminate personal responsibility. They don't want you to be responsible
mm-hmm.
for anything. And when you bring up somebody did something, there's always a deflection. Well, that's because of that, or that's because of that. And it turns out nobody is individually
mm-hmm.
responsible for what they say, according to a certain thinking. And then some
yeah.
of them get into government, and they want the government to be responsible for everything that goes on. Well, we'll relieve you of that. You don't have to worry about that. Well, okay.
No. No.
That creates a kind of a servant as opposed to, you know, somebody who is, as de Tocqueville noticed, willing to say, no, I'll do it myself. I'll take care of it. I'll do it. right?
Right.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And that's, and you know, and, but this promise of no personal responsibility, it's damaging to the individual because then they don't have to have any responsibility, and then there's no, and then there's no building of the self-esteem. It's also damaging to the political process because if a government is willing to say you don't have to be responsible for anything, now we're talking about a government that can grow and grow and grow and grow. And that is not good when it comes to personal freedom or the kind of abundance, you know, that we have come to enjoy.
Amen.
So values and ethics, personal accountability, all lead to self-esteem, which then helps us, you know, to move on. Now, none of these solutions are perfect. They don't work for everyone. They aren't needed for everybody. They are needed for some. Okay. But it is this kind of thinking and hopefully a discussion that can then lead to further thoughts. You know, I mean, you don't see the side road down the road unless you're on the road to begin, right?
That's right.
And then once you're on the road, then you might see the sign that says this way to wherever you're going. Ah, but you wouldn't have seen it had you not been on the road. And so
that's right.
And so these discussions do need to take place. If not, if you don't have children of yourself, perhaps you have grandchildren or nieces or nephews or young people. Okay. You know, to begin the discussion. And then, of course, after you've had the discussion, then the adults should shut up and listen to what the younger person has to say.
Yes.
And
well,
what they say is important. Why they say it is even more important, I think.
That's correct.
And
yes.
And then begin the discussion. And I remember one time somebody was telling me that they didn't like argument. They had, and I said, look, personally, I like arguments. All right. But I like it when it begins the conversation, not when it ends. All right. I want to argue about ideas. And I not only want to know what you think, I want to know why you think it. My brother one time says to me, he goes, you know, Rick, your only problem is you always think you're right. And I said, so how does that make me different from everybody else? Well, you know what I mean. And I said, look, you're right. I do always think I'm right. In fact, I want to be right so much, I'm willing to listen to you tell me why you think I'm wrong.
That's right.
Right.
There you go.
And so so it is the exchange of ideas, which some of us can still have civil conversations, you know, with people that we don't completely agree with. And it, you know, it's sort of historical because we used to do that. I mean, it used to be, I don't agree with what you say, but I'll defend to the death your right to say it. Well, don't see that much anymore, especially
what
goes on. But it's still possible, and it is still possible for us to do it. And, you know, it begins with the parents. Homeschoolers, I think, could have a big effect on it. You know, again, going back to the self-awareness. And my friend Iris, her thing is self-power, that most people do not know the power with that God gave them. Okay.
That's right.
And the power they have to make changes in the world, changes in themselves, changes in their attitude, right? And that also needs to be taught, is that you have the power to do it. You know, we have the greatest self-awareness of any being on this planet. There's other, you know, there's animals that have self-awareness, okay, limited, but we have it more than anything, okay? And it can lead to a broad range of thoughts, okay, a broad range of thoughts. Discipline is needed, or the thoughts can lead you off into something that isn't necessarily helpful or healthy, right?
That's right.
And that's where the lines on the highway, the rules of law, you know, steal from your neighbor or kill your neighbor. Don't do that, okay? But those, you know, those are, you know, those are the sidelines for which we operate on this planet. So with that, but I think you're raising the bar of standards. It's all encompassing in that statement right there.
Yes, there, thank you, and I'm going to come back to you, because what I'm going to do, my brothers and sisters, is I'm going to bring this all the way back to the beginning. My brother has pointed out some really commonsensical things to think about as we go about our day. As we get up in the morning, first I heard my brother say, choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. Are you going to get up, and are you going to train your children up in the way that they should go? Or are you going to love your neighbor as yourself? Or are you going to go out and try to help somebody in need? Choose every day to raise that bar a little bit higher, first and foremost in yourself. Like my brother said, by the power of the Holy Ghost, by the power God gave us, he gave us free will choice. He said, choose. You can choose. We need to choose to do better. We need to choose to live better. We need to choose to expect more. We need to choose to step up and say, I'll do it. Because there's far too many of us, my brothers and sisters, we're looking at the TV. We're worrying about what's going on in the Ukraine. And, of course, we should be concerned about our brothers and sisters all over this world. I'm not saying that. But we have to believe. If we call Jesus our Lord and our Savior and we believe in Father God, we have to believe him when he says there will be wars and rumors of wars. But before we get to that, we got to remember that every government, the governing of yourselves, the governing of your children, the governing of a country, the governing of anything, all of the governing of everything that's ever been governed sits upon the shoulders of the Most High God, which means it should have the principles, the values, and the standards of the Most High God, which means that we should be about the embetterment of all people. We should be about the equality of all people. You know why? That's the way God created us. We need to stop demanding things that only God can do and taking command over the things that we can do to lift the bar for ourselves. Demonstrating for our children what it means to be a good citizen. We need to be better citizens. And we need to take accountability and responsibility for what we do and what we don't do and keep it real. Because we will not change what we don't acknowledge. And putting on a pretense to go along to get along is just a band-aid that will fester resentment and hypocrisy and a whole plethora of things we don't even have time to get into on this evening.
Amen.
So let us choose to live as though we are truly governed by the Most High God. And yes, he tells us to respect those that he has placed in authority over us. So that calls us for some more action. As people of God, when we are electing people into office, how much due diligence are we really doing? Are we digging deep? Are we seeing if their walk and their talk is measuring up? They might be campaigning on one topic, but then if you look at their record, they did the exact opposite. So how much history are we really getting about the people that we put in office? How much history or how much do we know about the people that we're placing over our children? We have to measure everything and everyone by God's standards.
Yes.
If we want to remain free. We have to use common sense. The world calls it common sense. God calls it wisdom, discernment, knowledge, and understanding. And he gives us all of that before destruction. Well, People of God, it's time to wake up. Smell the coffee, the tea, the roses, whatever it is that you need to smell. You know, but the time is that if there was ever a time that we needed to truly stand up, speak out, live out loud what we truly believe without hesitation or apology, and that is we are all children of God, that he has called to live to a higher standard, that he has called to raise the bar for the world so that they might come to know him. I say to you, what will you do to help raise the bar? My brother, commentator of all common sense, Brother Rick Altman, I you know, I'm so glad that you came back and you just let it run your way and flow your way because you brought out so many good points. And parents, you need to stop. You need to watch your mouth, too, because what we say to our children makes a difference. That's what I meant when I said if you want your children, your country, your communities, your churches to be better, then you must pick the bar up off the floor. Stop telling your child what he's never going to do or he's never going to be.
Yeah.
Stop allowing your children to hear you talk about other people disparagingly. You know, take some self-control and self-accountability and self-awareness and know that what you say is being heard, but what you do is actually being mimicked. So that's what you need to remember. Kids will do what you do way before they do what you say. So at this time, I'm just going to go through the room. I got a bunch of Spirit Alive family and friends up in here, and I'm going to give everybody a chance to chime on in, put your amens on it, put your common sense, 2 cents worth in it, whatever you want to do, you are welcome to do. But I'm going to start with this, my brother's lovely wife, hallelujah, because see, up in Spirit Alive, we believe in allowing the wives to go, go ahead, honey, you know you did a good job. So I'm going to let her come on in and have a word if she would so like to. Sister Sue, you are in the studio.
Well, thank you, Bishop, so much, and it was just wonderful hearing your opening and getting closure from the bishop at the end. I love the way you communicate. You hit me right where it's supposed to hit. It hits the target every time, and I really, really appreciate it. And of course, again, I'm the one that benefits from being with Rick most of the time, and it is unbelievable how much I've learned from him over the years. Like a walking history book. So
yes.
He keeps reminding me of you know, our own history and the world history, and it's so important that we know where we come from, where we've been, where we are. Therefore, we have some direction in knowing where we want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you
Amen.
Again so much. Both of you.
Well, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us. We just love you here. God bless you. And I know that we also, I'm going to get to my mother, Mother Mitchell, in just a second, but I'm going to allow Brother Lee Larson and his beautiful wife, Terry, if they would like to, either one of them would like to have a word at this time. You are more than welcome to put your 2 cents in on the common sense.
Well, that's all I got is 2 cents. However, I thoroughly enjoyed listening to everything you've had to say tonight. It was well worth the time and effort. And my good buddy Rick, I always enjoy listening to him because he is a world of knowledge. He's a well-read boy, and I think the world of him. I'm so glad that he has had the opportunity to speak on your program. It's very enlightening, very loving, and thank you so much for having the program.
Oh, thank you, Brother Lee. We love you here
at
Spirit Alive, and you're just an awesome man yourself. Did Sister Terry, would she like to have a word?
Well, she always has a word, but I don't know if she wants to.
You're not right for that.
They always have a word.
The devil will get you for that, Mr. Lee. God will get you for that, Mr. Lee.
Anyway, here I am. And Rick, yes, I enjoyed what you had to say. And you are an encyclopedia. And we care about you. And Bishop Sherlene, you are a wealth of information and a caring, loving person, and I love you.
Aww.
Thank you for your show. It's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Aw, thank you. I love you, too.
Thank
I
you,
love
Terry.
You so much. You know, they're such wonderful people. Mother Mitchell, I heard you amen and all through the program for you. Come on in, because I know you have something to say. This is my mother.
And amen again. But Brother Lee, is it that just made the comment with his wife?
Yes.
With this lady? Yeah.
Yes.
You know what? When you said you only have 2 cents, you know what that made me think of? That made me think of the lady that Jesus asked to give, and she gave all she had, and it was about 2 denaros, and I think that may be 2 pennies. So if you have 2 cents, that's good. You could do a lot with 2 cents.
A lot with
the
2 cents. Amen. In the kingdom of God, yes, you can.
He had a whole lot of money, but he only gave a little bit compared to what he could have gave. So, see, don't never count out the 2 pennies that you got. You come on in the house every week. We got this going on, and give your 2 cents worth.
Amen.
I just wanted to make an example of something that's really dear to my heart. And I don't mean to bring the word racism in, but we have to understand that a lot of what goes on in the world, religiously or otherwise, is based on that. And one of the things that I like to share is when parents, and I meet a lot of people, and they say to me, well, I just don't see no color. And I say to them, well, baby, when you look at me, what do you see? Well, I just want to teach my kids that there ain't no color. But I said, no. Don't teach them there's not color because there is. If I put my hand by yours and you put yours by mine and you're white and I'm black, which is a little misnomer, but that's okay, they're going to see a difference. So what you're really wanting to teach your children is that there is a difference, but the difference doesn't make your white hand better than my black hand. That's what you're wanting them
or
to
vice
understand.
Versa.
And that we aren't less and you aren't more. So explain that to them and let them know. I'm sorry about my voice. And let them know there is color. We live in a world of color. God made such a beautiful world of color. And we are different colors. But the color of our skin does not make us less. And I was a very obstinate in school. They told me that the Soviets was coming to get me and we should get under our desk. I sat up in my desk because I wanted to see them when they came. I wanted to see what this all this was about. So I wasn't crawling up. My mama took a lot of time ironing my pretty little skirts and dresses, and I wasn't getting up under no desk on no floor to wait for the Soviets to come and get me. They better come and get me, and they better come right. And I was, second, third grade maybe. But, you know, you can't accept everything people tell you. And my mama always told me, girl, you are the why in asking person I've ever seen. If I answer one of your whys, you've got another one. If I answer that one, you've got another one.
Amen, amen.
And I said, well, mama, I want to know today as the world gets so evil and so we're living in the last days and the world gets so bad and everything is just going awry, I'm not sure that why is the question anymore. Because I don't know if the young man goes home, he's mad at his mama, he gets a gun, he comes back to his school and he shoots his classmates. I'm not sure he has a why he did that. I don't know that he knows. But I'm
Come
just
on.
Saying,
Amen,
one
Mom.
Of the things we have to look at to understand the world in which we live. I love you, Brother, tell me his name, Rick.
Rick,
I love you,
Brother Rick.
I hope you will come back again, because I know you ain't even got to the crux of things yet. You just keep on moving through it, and we'll keep on listening and learning. So, I
Mother, I will
so
do anything I can to help Shirley. I think her message is
okay,
so important.
Hush.
Thank you.
I love you. Thank you, Bishop, so much.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, we do have to teach, like we said. We can't glass over any of the issues, but we can't dwell on them either. You know, no, racism is not gone away. It will not go away. It's not going to be gone away by the time Jesus comes back. But that doesn't mean we have to accept it. That doesn't mean we have to teach it. That doesn't mean we have to advocate it. You know, there's going to be homeless people and poor people until Jesus comes back. But that doesn't mean we have to accept it. And we just have to, oh, there's always going to be homeless. There's always going to be hungry. We don't have to accept it. And we don't have to take it lying down. God has called us to step up and step beyond our boundaries. Step beyond our four walls. And look into the heart and the eyes of another man and see if there is something, a shred of decency that you can impart. Now, hopefully, you will impart the word of God. But you know what? Sometimes all it takes is a smile, a kind word. How are you today? Young person, sometimes all it takes is for you to, when you see an elderly person get on the bus, you get up and give them your seat. See, we should get to the mindset to help build, you know, to raise the bar, to raise the standard for all people by just breaking out and choosing to just engage ourselves in random acts of kindness, to teach hope instead of despair. To hallelujah, illuminate the positive, accentuate the positive. And then we're gonna work on all that negative stuff until somebody gets it right. Hallelujah. Because as we have told you, we have the power. And God, if we ask God, he will give us the knowledge, the understanding and discernment. He will give us the where, when, how, why to do whatever it is he wants us to do. Because remember, it's all about his plan. This is his world and the fullness thereof. So if we're really going to govern ourselves according to as God has commanded, again, we're not going to go around bearing false witnesses and blaming and complaining and moaning and begroaning, because that is not a solution to raising the bar. That leaves the bar on the floor. Because what happens when people argue? What happens when people get all excited? What happens when people riot? There's no control. There's no conscience. There's only chaos. And don't we have enough of that right now? Shouldn't we be looking inside ourselves and really, I mean, getting real with ourselves, okay? Is what I'm saying or what I'm doing right now, is it going to build the esteem of somebody else? Am I demonstrating to them what a person that has self-esteem looks like? You know, that's the kind of questions we need to ask ourselves as we go
and
forward.
Loving through it, not hating through it.
Amen.
Loving through it.
Yes, amen, Mother Mitchell. Amen. So I just, I just thank you so much, Brother Altman. I just thank you, Brother Lee. And, now, is there anyone in the chat room that would like to have a word, or is there anybody? I'm just unmuting people. I'm just unmuting everybody. So if you are up in here right now, because I don't, you know, if you are up in here right now and you would like to have a word, you better holler amen, say your name, and get to speaking. Amen, because, you know, I'm not going to say time is money, but time is running out. So if you have something to say, you need to just go ahead and shout it out in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So, hallelujah. Okay, we do have some questions. We do have some comments from the chat room. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ooh. All right. Let me begin. We
okay.
have.
This is Terry.
We have. Uh-huh.
Terry, Bishop Shirlene. And I would like to say on one of the comments, and which is true, we have different colors on the outside, but by goodness, we have the same color flowing on the inside.
Oh, come on. Amen. In other words, she said we got the blood of Jesus flowing on the inside. So you know what? She just raised the bar right there for somebody, because somebody might have not knew that. Okay, so thank you. We need to thank Mother Mitchell for her comment, and we thank Sister Terry for her comment. Now, we're going to go to, this is Stephanie, and she is in Nebraska. And she just wants to say that she is just so tired. She says she's so tired of adults telling them what they should do when they don't even do it them for themselves. Well, I think Brother Altman spoke on that when he said, you know, we have to show you, demonstrate for you, teach you the process, allow you to see us going through the process. You know, you see us go out to work every day. We're doing things to be, you know, we're following the rules. We're doing what we're supposed to do. We're taking care of you, our children. We're making sure that you're educated. We're teaching you. But now, yeah, parents do things and want you to do something else. But let me explain something to you. Whenever you have a question about what you should do, learn now. Go to the Word of God. The Word of God says, study to show yourself approved. And I know you, Stephanie. I see you in here all the time. So I know that you walk with us, beloved. So, you know, if you really have a question, sweetheart. Matter of fact, you got saved right here on this network. So, you know, if you really have a question, sweetheart, go to the Word of God. And before you read it, ask the Holy Spirit, honey, to show you what it is that you need to know to help you to grow, because that's what he's for, okay? Yeah, parents are, you know, they aren't always, it's true. We live in a society, especially in America, where a lot of kids do get to see the downside of life. Coming up in life, you know, they know what hard knocks are. You know, they've had to raise their brothers and sisters. But you know what? I'm here tonight to tell you, my beloved, you can rise above your raising, okay? And I want to say to every person tonight that's listening, if you want to help raise the bar, you can help raise the bar by being a mentor. By speaking life to the young people that you see, like Brother Altman said, whether it be your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews, the young people in your neighborhood, you know, you speak life to them. You be the one to step up and say, I'll do it. I'll take the time to say, you know what, my young brother or my young sister, you know, you look like you have the potential to be such a fine young man or young lady. You know, it's just really unbecoming of you to walk around spewing that kind of language out of your mouth. Or, young lady, you're a beautiful young lady, but you know what? You need to truly be careful about how you are carrying yourself, you know, because, see, we do have free will choices, beloved, but we don't always get to choose our consequences. So choose wisely. Use common sense. Barry from Fort Lauderdale, He says, thank you, Brother Altman. You sound just like one of the CNN commentators.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
He said, and then his next question was, were you a CNN commentator? Tell the truth and shame the devil. Were you a CNN? Look, we got you on loan from CNN, for real.
No.
If we do, all I have to say is amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Bear. Look, he is a very professional sounding man. That's because he's a very educated man. So, you know, I says here, you're 22. Well, keep it on and learn as much as you can and keep your head in books and doing the right thing. And look, you will be sitting up on somebody. You might be sitting up on your own network, even your television network, sounding just like Brother Altman. You don't know. You know, there's hope. Hallelujah. There's hope.
Set those goals. Set those goals and set them high.
Yeah, you can't. You know, and when you set your goals, set them high. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You know, when I was a little girl, this was my thing. My mother, my dad told me I can do anything, be anything. I was just the opposite. You can be anything you want. You can do anything you want. You can go anywhere you want, you know. And so my thing was I wanted to set goals so high that even if I failed, nobody would know it. How about that? See,
yeah.
That's setting some goals high. See, even on my worst day, all people can do is look at me and say, oh, she's doing pretty good. And it has served me well. So I want to
reach for the stars and grab the moon, right?
That's it. Exactly. And there's nothing to it but to do it. And I want to thank you know, every life, I learned a lot of life lessons from my parents, and I'm grateful for who, you know, for them. They demonstrated to me as a young girl what it was like to, my dad was a lawyer, my mother was an advocate. And so they showed me what it was like to go out and feed the homeless or buy a man a suit because he had to go to court or, you know, make sure the kids had a place to play in the community centers. See, all my life I watched that. And so my bar was set really high because what they said, it, you know, more or less was really demonstrated. I saw it every day. You know, my mother was the den mother. My mother was, you know, the Girl Scout, the Brownie troop leader and the Girl Scout troop leader. You know, she was the PTA mom. You know, she did all that. She was involved. So, you know, parents, get involved with your kids. You know, we need to reconnect with our young people. You know, tell them to turn off the cell phones. Put down the tablets. Turn off the TV. And just get back to getting in touch with your young people. You know, it's like Brother Altman was saying the last time we were together. He said, "Yeah, you know, people be sitting up in the room, and they're talking to each other, sitting beside each other, but they're texting. Why? You know, are we that lazy? Are we
because
that?
They
do
can.
We want to really be that unchallenged in life? You know." And with everything going on in the world today, we need to bond together. We need to raise the standards. We need to give our young people hope. We need to let them know that they matter. We need to let them know that they can do and be, with the help of the good Lord, anything that they choose, if they choose the correct path. But we got to live it first. We just can't.
And I would add to that, and I would add to that, okay, that, yes, there's differences between us. There will always be differences, okay? But there is more that unites us than which divides us. And
yeah,
that is what we need to focus on. If only our own individual freedom and appreciation for the abundance that we're all pretty much taken for granted. But there's more that unites us than what divides us.
That's
and
right.
And if we start from there, then we can work on, you know, what divides us. And if we can't overcome it, at least tolerate it, okay? And then move on.
Yes,
and then
in the
move
words,
on, you know.
That's right. In the words of the beautiful and the articulate and incomparable Dr. Maya Angelou. I love that woman. She's one of the reasons why I write today. She said, I love it when she says, remember, we are more alike than we are unalike. And when
I didn't
we
know
get
she
to
said
the
that.
Facts,
okay.
Yes. And when we remember that we were all created by God, we all have his, as children of God, as believers in Christ Jesus, we all have his DNA flowing through our veins. Like Sister Terry said, if you cut us, we all going to bleed red, okay? We are more alike than we are unalike. There is more that unites us than divides us. And if we just begin to come together around that and begin to just raise the bar, self-awareness, to be able to esteem one another, you know, to be able to love one another, esteem one another, uplift one another. Hallelujah. Then we will begin to see a government that reflects the shoulders upon which it sits. And that's my prayer for America and every nation under God. Hallelujah. I want to thank my beautiful friends and family for gathering here with me tonight. I want to thank my brother from another mother, but from the divine mister, our commentator of common sense, Brother Rick Altman, and he is going to be a fixture here on the Spirit Alive Network because I am going to be calling upon him every chance that I get. Amen. Yes, indeed. So we just pray that you will begin to think about what we have said on tonight. And all of us, see, what I love about this is when we come together and we have these discussions and we touch and agree, we're trying to show you that we come from different backgrounds, but we're united under God. We might come from different economical statuses or social statuses, but we're still united under God. You see, God is an equalizer. He's no respecter of person. And what he means for one, he means for all. Rich, poor, black, white, purple, green, he doesn't care. He said, if we love him, we will keep his commandments, which means if we love him, we will govern ourselves according to his holy word. This has been Bishop Shalene Cook and my dear brother, the commentator of Common Sense, Brother Rick Altman, for the Common Sense Files. We pray that you have heard something that will have uplifted you, enlightened you, and will cause you to start a conversation with your family, your friends, your coworkers, and you too will want to raise the bar and begin a conversation to esteem others in a way that we can all feel better about us as humanity. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I also pray that you just continue to walk here with us at the Spirit Alive Network on tomorrow. Be prepared to listen to the summit at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That will be with Minister Adam Tuggle. And then if you have no place to worship, you are more than welcome to join us right here where we will transform this studio into a sanctuary for the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience each and every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's 11 Central Standard Time and 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. So on behalf of myself, Brother Rick Altman, the Spirit Alive family, and our friends, we just like to say wish you a blessed rest of your weekend. We pray that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do, and from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. God bless you, and see you next time from all of us here at the Spirit Alive Network. Good night, everybody. God bless you. I sure do love you.
Good night.
God bless.
Good night.